Sunday, in the great story of mankind and life upon this earth, this day is as big as it gets. It is Resurrection Day. For 8 days now, we've been following the footsteps of Jesus, but they ended at a cross, and the disciples were left wondering and lost. But today is a new day, and John chapter 20 starts early. Verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Now the four Gospels record several encounters at the tomb that morning, and all of them weave together. John will focus in on his own experience, and it starts with news from Mary Magdalene. In verse 2, Mary comes running to Peter and John to tell them about the empty tomb. And in verse 3, so Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I love this anecdote from John that he happened to outrun his buddy Peter. We ran, I won. Now John stops outside to look, but in verse 6, then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. There is a subtle but beautiful progression in the words here. John looked from the outside. The Greek word means quite simply to observe. But Peter goes right in to investigate. The word saw in verse 6 means to study more carefully. When John finally enters in verse 8, he saw and believed. That word is more than looking. It's understanding. I see, as in, I get it now. John saw and he believed. And that same progression works for us. We look, just observing this whole Jesus thing from the outside. Then we look into, investigate for ourselves. At last, we see, we get it, and believe. Now I want to leave John and Peter for a moment and jump over to another story that Luke records of two more disciples out on the road. Their story begins in Luke 24 at verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. Now this story amazes me. Jesus is with them, and they miss it. Happens sometimes. So the apparent stranger asks them what they're talking about, and they tell him what everyone is talking about, Jesus of Nazareth. In verse 19, they explain, "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people." They go on to lay out all the facts that they know about Jesus, like puzzle pieces that don't quite fit together. Facts about his amazing life and his tragic death. Verse 21, "But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." The disciples had hoped. When all was going well and Jesus was so amazing, everything added up. His words were truth. His works were powerful. But this last part just didn't make sense. He was killed. Death won. And their hopes were dashed. How do you piece together God doing such amazing things on one side and allowing something so awful on the other? But then a new piece showed up, one they hadn't expected. And this is the one that changes the entire puzzle, for you and me too. The disciples heard news. Jesus is alive. But could they believe it? Verse 25, "He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things, and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." This is awesome. As they walk along the road, Jesus walks them through the Old Testament and explains all the scriptures about himself. I wish we had this in writing. Perhaps he started with God's kingdom and Palm Sunday, the donkey in Zechariah, the royal entrance of the king in Psalm 118. Surely he explained Passover, God rescued his people from slavery, as Jesus rescues us from the sin that enslaves us. Sin is a cruel master, and Jesus sets us free. The blood of a spotless lamb, like a sinless Savior, and those who put their faith in him will escape death. As they walk on, the Old Testament sacrifices. The people confess their sin and put them on the animal, who died in their place. But an animal can't die for sin. It was always a picture, and it was blood that brought atonement, made us right with God. And then to the cross. Psalm 22, picture perfect of the crucifixion. The story of Abraham, ready to sacrifice his son. Isaiah 53, he was pierced for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. So Jesus explains that Messiah had to die so that we could live. Remember, we're following his footsteps. That's what this study is. That's what the disciples did. That's what Christianity is. We follow Jesus to death and back again. With his death, he took our sin and shame and our wicked old flesh and nailed it all to a cross and buried it. With his resurrection, he raised us to new life. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and a brand new heart beats inside this chest. Do you remember the crown of thorns and the sign above Jesus on the cross, King of the Jews? Understand that Jesus didn't die to become the king. He died to get us into his kingdom. Now the two disciples still don't know that it's Jesus until the end of the walk when God opens their eyes. It's just how he works sometimes. And just like that, Jesus disappears. Well, there's a lot more to this story, but I'll leave that for you. Back in John 20, read on and you'll find the story of Mary Magdalene, who found Jesus back at the tomb, and of the disciples that evening, as Jesus breathes on them the Holy Spirit, and of Thomas, who missed it all and refuses to believe their story. Poor practical Thomas, forever known for his doubt. But a week later, Jesus shows up again, and in verse 27, he tells Thomas, "Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And that is what Thomas ought to be remembered for, one of the great statements of faith. Jesus is my Lord and my God. See, Thomas, like all of the disciples, like any human really, found faith in stages. Sure, he was a doubter, but a doubter who kept following Jesus, who gave Jesus a chance to prove himself. Thomas didn't give up on Jesus, and Jesus certainly didn't give up on him. I guess that every disciple has their own story to tell. So do you, so do I. John ends the chapter by telling us that there's a lot more to tell. Then in verse 31, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And that is what Holy Week is really all about Jesus, the Son of God, the King who wore a crown of thorns, about those who followed him, those who believed and found life. Jesus died so we could live. His death brought us forgiveness, but his resurrection brought us new life. And the same power that raised Jesus raises us. I don't know where you started this journey. If you were just sort of looking into things like John at the tomb, or all out of hope like the disciples on the road, or flat out refusing to believe like Thomas. Wherever you started, I want to thank you for taking the journey with me. And please join me for the next one. We have lots more ahead on Through the Word. And I want you to know that I record these for the same reason that John wrote, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Happy Resurrection Day, everyone. He is risen.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.